Okay. Well, thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to continue with part four of Louisa and Bound in the Divine Will. And since the beginning of the year, one of the things that we're praying for is the first bread. We're praying that, especially during Lent, as we fast, we want to remember that Jesus gave the population the third bread. He fed them. And at the Last Supper, Jesus produced the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And he's been feeding the church with his second bread for 2,000 years. And this is the greatest thing that the Holy Catholic Church has, our Eucharistic Lord, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And now in these final days, these end days, as Pope St. John Paul, this Pope John Paul II said, he says, we are going to, we're in the final days, he says. So what does this mean? This means that Jesus is bringing us to the first bread, the bread that Adam ate, the bread that Jesus and Mary lived on, the bread that Louisa participated in. And this is something that is so astonishing. It's so beautiful. And our God is asking us, I really believe this, especially during Lent, as we fast and as we eat a piece of bread, that we say to the Lord, may we receive this first bread. See, the first bread is a perennial communion with God. The second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, we are one with God in that 15 minutes once we receive the host and until the host dissolves. And this is why the Holy Mass ends right after you receive Holy Communion, is the church does not want to interfere with our communion with God, where we adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him. It's the most powerful time that we have. And so Jesus teaches us in volume 19, 5:10, 19:31, now in order to make much bread, the yeast is not enough. So he's saying this bread of the divine will is the yeast. The children in the divine will become the yeast. He says it takes someone who must do these acts of uniting the flour and the yeast. It takes water, and that's the bond of union, to be able to knead flour and yeast so that the yeast may communicate the fermenting virtue and the flour may receive it. So Jesus says this is a very natural thing that's going to happen, just like making bread, which is everyone basically in the world has this mixing of flour and water, yeast, kneading it together so that the fermentation takes place. The leaven happens in the bread. So Jesus is saying that's what's happening right now in the world. What's happening in the church, what's happening in the world, Jesus says, is a purification that must take place in order for the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. So he says, so my daughter, the yeast of my divine fiat that has only the virtue of fermenting your acts and emptying them of all that is human. Do you see what's happening? Jesus is now saying what the saints have given him is a holy, saintly, human sanctity. And Jesus says now is the time that he wants us to receive, God wants us to receive a divine sanctity. Okay, that's the divine will. Now, no one possesses it fully at this point. I know some people say they're living in the divine will, but to live in the divine will is the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary that they gave to Louisa. Louisa lives in it. But what's going to happen is little by little, step by step, what's going to happen is God is going to teach us how this is going to happen. So this is why we're always longing for that first bread. We're always longing for that, the bread of the divine will. So he says, my daughter, the yeast of my divine fiat that has the only the virtue of fermenting our acts. So our acts have to change. Okay, so when the priest puts a drop of water into the chalice, he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. This prayer of the priest is happening. We are beginning to share in the divinity of Christ. As St. Peter tells us in his epistle, he says, we are called to be divinized. That's what's happening today. And the evil one is enraged. He thought he stopped this with the fall of Adam. He thought once Jesus and Mary left the earth that this was gone. He thought if he can infiltrate the church, he could stop what God is doing. He can't stop it. This is a divine decree. As creation was a divine decree, as redemption is a divine decree, now sanctification is a divine decree of God. And this is what the book of heaven is all about. Jesus is teaching us step by step, little by little, of what he, the Lord God Almighty, has planned. The evil one is not going to win. He was defeated when Christ died on Calvary. He was defeated. And now his kingdom is coming to an end. Remember the vision of Pope Leo XIII in 1884. He said, the devil said to Jesus, give me 100 years. Jesus says, you have it. The 100 years is over, if you really want to say. Now the final battle is here. And it's not a battle between people. It's a battle between principalities and powers. And God is going to win. He's getting rid of all the wrinkles and the stains on his bride's wedding garment. He's bringing his bride to perfection. And this is good. Don't be upset about what's happening. Don't be worried about what's happening. God is in charge and God is going to win. The only thing you should be upset about is, are we with the Lord 100%? Are we with his church 100% or not? Not the infiltration, but what God is asking of his holy church. So he says, this virtue of fermenting your acts, your human acts, emptying them of the human will in order to convert them into the bread of the divine will, the first bread. This is what Adam had, image and likeness of God. And Jesus says, now this is coming back. So he says, it's not enough, but it takes a continuation of sacrifices and for a long time, in such a way that my will with its fermenting virtue shall ferment all these acts so as to form as much bread and keep it prepared and in store for the children of the kingdom, the little children of the holy divine will. So Jesus is saying everything's happening. Now for Louisa did these acts continuously. The Lord told her to go to bed at the age of 17 and she did. Jesus told her to stop eating and she obeyed. Jesus told her to stop drinking and she stopped drinking. Jesus told her to stop sleeping and she stopped sleeping. Humans don't do this. But because of her obedience, Jesus says, I have found a soul who can begin to live on the first bread. And that's what's happening. So what Jesus is going to teach us is all the acts that we're doing, all our rounds that we're praying, we're going to begin to learn how to do it the way Louisa did. So for what? For the kingdom to be established. And that's where the peace, the joy, the happiness comes from. For a lot of people, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin is no longer part of their life. Their life is to be a peaceful, joyful Catholic, happy. Yes, there's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of difficulties. But even though Our Lady was at the foot of the cross with Jesus, her heart was split in two, yet she was peaceful, joyful, and happy. Why? She trusted in the Lord. She trusted. what God was asking her to go through. She wasn't complaining. She wasn't negative. And see, that's the life that our Lord is asking us to begin to live, the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. So Jesus says this very, very clearly in Vine 29:6-8, 1931. So there is nothing sweeter, nothing dearer, nothing more pleasing than reminding us, triune God, of how much love we created Adam and all things. So here, he brings us back to the beginning. He brings us back to Eden. And he says, this is what I planned for mankind. Our pleasure is so great that the fortunate soul who comes before our adorable majesty to remind us of this love of ours, creation of Adam and all creation, is so great that we, triune God, redouble our loving bonds with that soul. We give that soul new graces. This is what Jesus did with Louisa. We give that soul new graces, new light, and we call that soul, that's Louisa, and hopefully it's us, the repeater of our feast. Because in creation, everything was feast for us and for all of mankind. So what's happening is we go back to that peace, that joy, that happiness of creation, where God said, everything is good. That's what's coming. When the kingdom of God is established on earth as it is in heaven, everything is good again. The evil one, well, since he's been banished from heaven, he will be banished from earth. This is what Jesus teaches Louisa. Begin to live heaven now, not after you die. Begin to live the resurrected life now, not after you die. So again, we have to purge ourselves of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, all doubts. We have to purge ourselves of that. Why? So that we can begin to live this abundant life. What's the abundant life? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. And so Louisa writing in the book of heaven all throughout her life, she was preparing us to receive this gift of gifts. Vine 29:6-30, 1931. Therefore, the kingdom exists. It's not far away. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom exists. And if I, Jesus, have spoken to you, Louisa, so much about my divine will, those have been nothing other than the preparations of many centuries of my holy church. The prayers, the sacrifices, the continual recitation of the prayer that Jesus taught the apostles, the Our Father, that have inclined our divine goodness, God himself, to choose Louisa in order to manifest to Louisa the many knowledges of our divine will, the great prodigies of the divine will. That's why Jesus and Mary spoke to Louisa, to have Louisa put down on paper these many knowledges, these many promises, these many truths of what? Of the divine will and the great prodigies that are going to happen. We haven't seen anything yet. All the miracles of the saints, okay, say, for example, a saint 100 years ago prayed for a soul and the soul was healed. That soul 100 years ago has died. Jesus says, I want to give you the miracle of miracles. I want when a person is healed, it's a divine healing that occurs. What's the divine healing? It's to go back to the garden, go back to Eden, to begin to live the life that God originally breathed into Adam, that Ruah of God, that breath of God into Adam. Why? To bring Adam back to where God wanted him to be from the beginning. Image and likeness of God. In this way, I, Jesus, bound my divine will to mankind, giving mankind new pledges of its kingdom. So you see what's happening. All that the saints have done is prepared us for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. He says, giving us new pledges that the kingdom of God is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. New promises to us, not to get discouraged. This is why Jesus said to Saint Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Why? Because more is coming. I trust you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. And so what does God do for his holy church? He builds on that divine mercy, the book of heaven, gives back to the church this great and abundant life of divine mercy. Jesus says this. He says, and as you listen, and as we read, as Louisa listened, and we read, I, God, try to model, Jesus says, try to model yourself after my teachings that I, God, have given you. So I, God, formed new bonds to bind all mankind in my divine will. And then he says to Louisa, it's really for those who want it. Many people don't want this gift. Many people say, I've got enough. Thank you very much. I don't need anything more. And that's sad. That is very sad for the Lord. The Lord is overflowing. He's gratuitous. He's constantly giving. He's constantly overflowing. We would not know of divine mercy without St. Faustina. We would not know of the Sacred Heart of Jesus without St. Margaret Mary. We would not know the divine will without Louisa Picaretta. It is a new beginning for Christ and his church that God is giving to us. Volume 29, 7-2, 1931. Our enough did not pronounce itself in the creation of Adam. Do you see what he's saying? That word in Italian, basta, that enough. He says that's not part of God's language. It's never stop. It's never ending. He says, our enough did not pronounce itself in the creation of Adam. It did not put a limit, but in every an act ever growing, leaving it almost to his liking, where he wanted to reach. So whatever Adam wanted, God says, I'll help you do this. Leaving almost it to a liking that what he wanted to reach and our growing act at his disposal. So our display, this is God's display, the triune God's display of divine love, would not have a limit. See, we limit God. You know, when God says, I want you to share in my divinity, which the priest puts in the drop of water in the chalice, I know people that go, well, I don't know if I can ever do that. God says, okay, you can. You've limited God. It always have to be fiat, like Our Lady. Fiat, let it be done to me as you want. Let it be done to me as you say. Jesus said the same thing. Father, not my will, but your will be done. This is the life that they taught Louisa. When God said to her, go to bed when she was 17, she said, yes. Which one of us could have done that? When God said to her, stop sleeping, she said, okay. When God said to her, stop eating, she said, okay. When God said to her, stop drinking, she said, okay. Which one of us could have survived? But this is what God gave to her. So he says very, very clearly. He says, our display of love would not have a limit, but would make pomp of luxury, pomp of grace, pomp of sanctity, pomp of beauty, pomp of goodness and more. This is a great celebration. As much as Adam wanted, as much as Adam pleased. So we, triune God, bound our growing act to his free will. So what is happening? God is saying to us, use your free will to choose. Do you want to continue to live in your human misery? And again, what is your human will? If you're honest, your human will is bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry for this. I don't want to live like this. And I want to make a firm purpose of amendment never to have any near occasion of sin. At that moment, the soul is full of grace. Through the absolution of the priest. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to turn back to him, using our free will to choose, I don't want to live in my human will any longer. I want to live in God's holy divine will. I want to live the true life of the new Adam, the true life of the new Eve that was given to Louisa. Jesus says this, we bound our growing act to his free will so that it might have no hindrance to displaying as much luxury as it could. This is the joy. This is the happiness of heaven that God wants us to begin to possess. And so that this growing act of ours might have in mankind all possible and imaginable helps, we triune God gave to Adam also our most holy divine will. And it was at his Adam's disposal so that it could maintain for him at its own expense all the luxury that Adam wanted and the superabundance of the goods of his God. Superabundance of the goods of God at our disposal. This is what God has planned. Don't limit God. Don't say, I won't be able to do that. Then God says you can't. Because you've already said no to God. We have to be like the Blessed Mother. Let it be done as you say. And I know some people, they get to this point of reading and they go, oh, that's not going to happen. God says, it can't happen to you. It can't happen to you. There's no fiat like the Blessed Mother. There's no fiat like Jesus. There's no fiat that Louisa gave. It's to surrender to God. It's to be docile to God. It's to be submissive to God and his will. Volume 29, 7/13, 1931. My daughter, the soul who lives in my divine will becomes the peacemaker between God and mankind. As you begin to live in the divine will, your family becomes peaceful. Your family becomes joyful. Little by little, the more you live in it, the more they will possess it. Jesus says to Louisa, the large majority of humanity cannot live in the divine will. Their human will is so strong. They can't say fiat. So Jesus teaches us how to say fiat to him, to the Almighty. You become a peacemaker between God and mankind. All of the soul's acts in the divine will, all their words, all their steps, all their prayers, all their little sacrifices done in the divine will are like many bonds of peace between heaven and earth. They are the peace making weapons. We're going to war, but it's a war of love, not a war of blood. And as she fights her creator with weapons of peace and of love in order to disarm God and render God favorable and change the scourges into mercy. See, divine mercy is there. How? By falling in love with our God. Falling in love with our Savior, doing everything with, in, through, and for him, as he does everything with, in, through, and for us. This is the unity. This is the fusion that God is asking of us. He says to disarm God and to render God favorable, changing the scourges into mercy. And just as the human will formed the war to wage a war against the one who had created it, that's what Adam did. Not only this, but it broke the accord, the order, and the peace so that my divine will, with the strength of its omnipotence, reigning in Adam. Okay, Adam lost all that. Now reigning into another human. Mary, the mother of God, possessed it. She's Theotokos, mother of God. Jesus possessed it, son of God. the new Adam and the new Eve gave this life to the newborn, Louisa. She possessed it. He says, now reigning in the creature converts what the creature does. This is what Jesus gave to Louisa, into bonds of accord, bonds of order, bonds of peace, bonds of love back to God. To be in God's image and likeness. It begins now for anyone who wants it. And it's little by little. Some people say, well, I said yes to the divine will. Now I'm living fully in the divine will. That's baloney. What did Jesus say right at the beginning? It takes years to get there. Why? We are so filled with faults. We're so filled with ourselves. Ego, our will, our pride, that has to be whittled away. Whittled away. You don't carve a statue by just saying, oh, I carved it and now it's done. No, it takes years. It takes time. And that's what God is giving us. He's giving us this time to focus on the book of heaven so Jesus can teach us how this can happen. Jesus says, so from the soul, Louisa, okay, from Louisa out through the little white cloud that surging and spreading and rises up to the divine throne bursts into many voices for many, many acts as she has done. Do you see? The word is important. Jesus is the word. He speaks these words to Louisa. Our Lady, the mother of God, Theotokos, speaks these words to Louisa. Why? So that Louisa can understand, learn this, study this. And that's why he says, bursting into many voices for as many acts as she has done. So when you wake up in the morning and you do your prevenient act, and then throughout the day you do your actual acts, the more that you do this, the more voices, if you want to say, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, is heard by God. Okay, what does this mean? When we pray in the divine will, we represent all mankind. The church already teaches us that. If you're the only one in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. Your prayers are now presented to God, if you wish, in the name of everyone and everything. In the divine will, it's continuous. It's a continuous prayer. When you pray, God hears all mankind, past, present, and future, praying with your voice praying. You represent, as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites, praying for the Israelites. We stand in the breach, Jesus is asking us, for all mankind, to pray in their name, to get the world ready for what? The kingdom of God being established on earth as it is in heaven. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, so what does the voice say? Great God, peace I bring to you from the earth. You, triune God, give me your peace to bring it as a bond of peace between you and the human generations. Everything's being repaired. It's the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. That's what the divine will is all about. It's the recreation of the face of the earth, the renewing of the face of the earth. This is why when you pray in the divine will, it's always repairing and redoing. To repair and redo is essential to live in the divine will. This little cloud ascends and descends and ascends and does the office of peacemaker between heaven and earth. Who was the original peacemaker of heaven and earth? It's Jesus and Mary. The new Adam and the new Eve. And now they have a human born of original sin to do what Jesus and Mary have done. This is where we are today. This is a glorious time. 529, 723, 1931. And so as you do your act in the divine will, you remind us, Triune God, of everything that we, Triune God, did in creation to set up our feast for Adam and his children. Image and likeness. This makes God so happy. Finally, all of creation makes sense. All of redemption makes sense. Why? Sanctification is occurring little by little. And we, Triune God, feel that our fiat is your regime. Our fiat is your rule. It's our life. This binds us, Triune God. This clasps us, Triune God, again, as in the beginning, and forms for us the new feast and makes us repeat that of creation. Celebration. Everything is good. That's where we're going. Everything is good. That's the goal. So when we enter into this gift, we are participating one with God. As Adam failed, Jesus and Mary come to redeem the earth, to save mankind. Now they give this life to Louisa, a human. Adam was human. To bring us back to where we were before the fall. This is why Jesus calls Louisa the newborn. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she? Volume 29, 8-3, 1931. But do you want to know what our most beautiful gifts are that we, Triune God, give to mankind? Manifesting to Louisa a knowledge of our supreme being. That's why we read. We read and we study. Jesus says every truth, every knowledge, every manifestation, every promise, he says, helps us become what God has called us to be. Manifesting to Louisa the knowledge of our supreme being, a truth that belongs to us, Triune God, a secret of the Triune God of ours, is the most beautiful gift that we, Triune God, can give to mankind through Louisa. Each of these gifts is one more bond that we place between Louisa, all the children of divine will, and us, Triune God. He's bringing us back to the beginning. We're going full circle back to God. Each truth of ours is a property that we, Triune God, place in Louisa's soul and in the souls who are reading, studying, and putting this into practice, little by little. And therefore, in this soul, Louisa, in whom our divine will reigns, we, Triune God, find our divine nourishments, our divine properties, for as much as is possible for a sick creature and our dwelling. So we, Triune God, find ourselves in our home. We find ourselves in our center. We find ourselves in the midst of our divine properties. See, Jesus says that every soul, he is going to produce in each and every soul his divine masterpiece for God, not for mankind, for God, a divine masterpiece. What is that divine masterpiece? What does it look like? Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. That's what God is calling us back to begin to live a life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. That's what Jesus is asking of us. Jesus has this all, he has it all planned. It's part of his great plan. So he says, see then what it means to let our divine will reign. You have to begin to understand what this means. It's not a saintly life, a good life, a holy life. It's a life sharing in divinity. Like the priest says every day when he pours the drop of water into the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. How do you do this? The how and the why is found in the book of heaven. See then what it means to let our divine will reign, and the great good of making our truths, our manifestations, our promises known to you. Each of our knowledges brings its own distinct gift. One brings divine light. One brings divine strength. One brings divine goodness. One brings the divine wisdom. One brings the divine love, and so forth. We're entering into the life of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is the fulfillment of the Our Father. This is why Jesus taught the apostles one prayer, the Our Father. That's how important these writings are, to get back to the garden, to get back to the life of God's image and likeness. Each of them, each truth, each promise, each knowledge, each manifestation binds the soul to God in a very special way, and God to the soul in a very special way. Therefore, know how to correspond to the many gifts that your Jesus has given you, and live always in our most holy divine will. That's what they said to Louisa. And Louisa wrote it down on paper for us to hear what God expects of us. Correspond to the many gifts that your Jesus has given you, and always live in our divine will. That's a command from our God. He's offering this to us. All we have to say is fiat. Let it be done as you say. And then read, study, put this into practice. 5:29, 8:30, 19:31. My daughter, all things created by us, triune God, possess the universal force, the bond of inseparability. Unitive force, excuse me. Our divine fiat has as much as it is possible able to do things that are distinct among themselves in such a way that one created thing cannot say, I am like another. Everything is unique. The heavens cannot say they are the sun. The sun cannot say it is the sea. However, it does not know how to do things that are isolated, how to do things that are separate from one another. It is like union so much. It likes union so much that it puts them in the condition that one cannot separate from the other. And while they are distinct and each one does its own office, yet in the motion they are going around that they do, and the union, its union and its order, so that they have is so great that one is the motion, one is the incessant round that they do. It's like running. The leg doesn't say, I'm going to run. The whole body runs. And this is what God, he wants everything to work, function the way he is originally planned. Now, the creature possesses the bond of all created things and goes around together with them. Now, that's Louis. He's talking about Louisa. They talked about how Adam had it before the fall. Now, Louisa. He says, now the creature possesses this bond of all created things and goes around together with them, praying the rounds. That's what God is saying. As we learn how to pray the rounds, we are in unity with all of creation, unity with all of redemption, unity with all of sanctification, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And how there is, if you breathe, it is air that allows you to breathe, to palpitate, and your blood circulates in your veins. Now the air that gives you breath, the heartbeat, and then takes it to give it back to you again. You breathe in and you breathe out. And while it incessantly gives and takes your breath, it goes around. It runs together with all created things, and your breath goes around. It runs together with the air. Your eye, being filled with the light, runs with the sun. Your feet run together on the earth. But do you know who has the great good of feeling vividly, vividly, the force, the union in order to the inseparability of all created things and the race of her whole being toward God? It is the soul who lets herself be dominated and possesses the life of my most holy divine will. That's Louisa. Of course, it's Jesus and Mary. It's Louisa's the first one, who has the life that Adam had before the fall. And now God wants to give this to us. Everything's wrapping up. We're going to see it happen. We're going to see why God gave to her, Louisa, this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. The saints dreamed of this. Luisa possessed it. 5:29, 10:12, 19:31. I, Luisa, feel the omnipotent force of the divine fiat that invests the whole of me, absorbs me, and transforms me into its light. This light is love, and it makes the life of my creator palpitate within me. This light is word, and it gives me, Luisa, the most beautiful news at the beginning of my existence. This is where Adam was. The relations, the bonds, the union, the communicative virtue, the inseparability that exists still now between me and God, as it existed with Adam. But who maintains all this full force if not the divine will? O power of the supreme fiat, prostrate in the immensity of your divine light, I adore you profoundly. My little nothing loving you dissolves within you. That we're that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. It fuses and diffuses. The water becomes wine. This is what Luisa is praying about. Being one with God as God originally planned. Volume 29, 10:26, 1931. My daughter, Luisa, I am. He uses God's name. I am here. Abandon yourself in my arms. Luisa, rest in me. Your abandonment in me calls for my abandonment in you and forms my sweet rest in your soul. Excuse me. This is where we are. Abandonment in me forms the sweet and powerful chains and binds me, God, so much to the soul that I, God, cannot unbind myself from the soul to the point of rendering me, Jesus, her dear and sweet prisoner. Abandonment in me gives birth to the true confidence, to true confidence. And she has confidence in me. Jesus, I trust in you. I have total confidence in you. You are doing this, Jesus. And I have confidence in Luisa. I have confidence in Luisa's love that shall never fail. I have confidence in Luisa's sacrifices, for she shall never refuse me anything. It's always fiat. Always fiat of what I, God, want. And I have all the confidence that I, God, can accomplish my designs in Luisa. She becomes his first divine masterpiece after the Blessed Mother. Abandon in me, Jesus says, that gives me, triumph, God, freedom. And I am free to do what I, God, want. And I, God, entrusting myself to Luisa, manifest to Luisa my most intimate secrets. And this is what he wants to do with us. Therefore, my daughter, I want you all abandoned in my arms. That's what he's saying to us through Luisa. And the more you are abandoned, you are in me, the more you shall feel my abandonment in you. And I, Luisa, say, my love, how can I abandon myself in you if you escape from me? And Jesus added, then is the abandonment perfect. Then, when I see me escape, you abandon yourself more. This is fiat and gives me no field to be able to escape. On the contrary, it binds me more. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.